Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. Next few moments, I'd like to talk about the blessing of the resurrection. Amen? Praise God. Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they may go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we remind ourselves of the resurrection story today. Heavenly Father, we give all glory and honor and praise to you. We thank you for sending Jesus to die on Calvary for our sins. We're also equally thankful that you raised him from the dead the third day. Lord Jesus, as we look at this great story once again, we ask for your Holy Spirit to move upon us. I pray you give strength and words to the speaker. God, give us all open ears to what your word and your Holy Spirit has for us to hear today. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. I thank God for the cross. I thank God that Jesus Christ died on Calvary. And when he breathed his last, we talked about this on Friday night, he said, "It is finished." The work of salvation was finished. The work of our forgiveness was finished when Jesus died on the tree. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 5, excuse me, verse 21 says, "God made him," speaking of Jesus who had no sin, "to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." When Jesus died, and if you choose to make your decision to believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, sin is dead to you. Because sin died on Calvary when Jesus allowed his blood to be spilled on your behalf. And all that's required to make that forgiveness part of your life is to put your faith and your trust in him. But when Jesus came and Jesus died, he didn't stay dead. The Bible says on the third day, as we just read in several portions of Scripture this morning, on the third day, he rose again. And just as the cross enabled us to be, enabled sin to be dead to us, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ allows us to be alive like we've never known. The resurrection is not only something true and something that has happened, but is something that if we have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, can impact our lives now, tomorrow, and the next day, the remainder of our lives, and all of eternity. Because when Christ raised from the dead, he conquered death not just for himself, but for all mankind. The resurrection proves that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. And when Scripture says Jesus is the Son of God, what that means is he's actually God himself. When you read through the Gospels, and Jesus, as he walked the earth and as he taught, he would refer to himself as the Son of God. And there were certain religious leaders who were very upset with that. And they didn't want to receive that from Jesus. They didn't mind his teaching. They didn't mind his healing so much as long as it didn't happen on ways that they didn't agree with, specifically healing on the Sabbath day. But they did mind in a great way his claim to be the Son of God. Because when he made that claim, they knew that to, they understood that to mean that he was declaring himself as God. You see, a son is equal to his father. I am my father's son. My father has passed away. He's in glory now. But I am an exact representation of my father. He's a little taller, or he was a little taller than I am, but we're basically human beings, identical in every way. We both lived and died. We both can think, love. We both had children. We're the exact same because he is my father. And what a father does is begets himself in his son. And God, the creator of the universe, the heavenly father, speaks of his only begotten son equal to him. And the Son is equal to the Father in every way, which means the Son, as the Father, has no beginning, no ending. And just like the Father has all power, all knowledge, and all authority has been given unto him, Jesus, being the Son of God, is God himself. And because he is the Son of God, even though he died, he came to earth. He left the glory and splendor. God, who always was, the Lord Jesus Christ, present at creation. The Bible telling us that he was willing, slain from the very foundations of the universe. Always was, always is. Came to this earth, lived like a human being, just like you and me. And died, just like so many of us human beings have died before. But because Jesus was more than just an ordinary man, death could not keep him. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 24, the first sermon preached after the risen Savior ascended to the right hand of the Father, the Apostle Peter says, God raised him, speaking of Jesus, from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. When Jesus died, death couldn't keep him. It kept everyone else who ever lived because they were just simply human beings who died in their sin and their imperfection. But God, being the Son of God, and God being the Lord Jesus Christ, being the God who never sinned, when he died, that prison of sin could not keep him, but had to let him go. And on the third day, he rose again. Why was it 3 days? I don't know. Perhaps it was because on the second day, it was the Sabbath day, and that was a day of rest. Perhaps it was because, and I think more so, Jesus said, only one sign shall be given of this generation to this generation, that proving that he was the Son of God. That sign of Jonah and the great fish, or Jonah and the whale. Jonah being an Old Testament prophet, you've all, I'm sure, heard the story, or most of you have heard the story, swallowed by a great fish for 3 days, and finally on the third day, the fish, how do I put it nicely, deposited him on the beach. I guess that's the nicest way I can put it. And Jesus said, that is the one sign that you'll be given. I'll be taken into the depths of death and the grave, but on the third day I will rise again. And he rose because he was the Son of God. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ proves this. And I know there are a lot of people who are skeptical about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, the 12 men who witnessed the risen Savior, who saw the nail-scarred hands, not one, not two, not three, but 12, were willing to die horrible deaths, except for John, believing and testifying that Jesus was the Son of God who rose again from the dead. And an even greater witness, and testimony to the authenticity that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, truly raised from the dead was that millions, thousands upon thousands of people who never physically experienced Jesus Christ, either before or after He died, were willing to die for Him as martyrs. And it goes on today. Why? Because Jesus Christ is alive and has all power over everything, including death. But the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as His death affects us in Christ being without sin, was able to pay for our sin. His resurrection not only gave Him victory over the grave, but ensures us victory over the grave as well. Acts chapter 3, the second sermon that the Apostle Peter preached, tells us that He led captivity captive. Captivity being the prison of hell or the grave. When Jesus Christ rose from the grave, being victorious because He had not sinned, but because He died and rose again, He paid for our sin and He made way for all of mankind, all of those who choose to believe in Him, to be able to overcome the grave as well, to overcome death. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 5, I think Pastor Glenn shared this scripture the other night, one of the inevitabilities of life is death. And death is something that, if it hasn't, and I was young once, and I know a lot of you saying you're still young now. Believe me, I look younger than I am. But at some point in your life, death will haunt you if you do not know Jesus personally as your Savior. I've had the privilege, and I've been a pastor for 17, 18 years, and I've had the privilege of sharing with people at the latter part of their lives. Some people I know have died suddenly, but many were expecting death, and have seen a broad spectrum of people's reaction to the news that they did not have long to live. And there were some people, especially those people who did not know Christ, who had sadness in their lives, because in their lives they felt their lives were empty, because they didn't accomplish everything that they had set out to. They had a number of goals that they wanted to achieve in their lives, and some of them they realized, but many of their goals, they did not. And then, so because of these dreams and ambitions that were dashed, because of their impending death, they were very sad. There were people I met, and it grieves my heart, but people who had a lot of regret over the mistakes that they made in life. In fact, I haven't met one person who hasn't made a mistake. Everyone has. There are those, and I think this speaks of everyone, who faces death, looks at death very sorrowfully because they know they're not going to see their loved ones. And some feel because they don't believe in life beyond the grave, they'll never see their loved ones again, be able to hold their hands, be able to hug them, be able to tell them that they love them. There are those who know, and I can't conceive this, because the gift of God's love, the gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness is for everyone. But I even met people who refused to accept that gift, even though death was staring them right in the face. And in their heart was a fear of what was going to happen when they breathed their last breath. Because just as sure as they knew there was a God in heaven, they knew that there was a hell for those who did not know Jesus. And then there have been some that I've met who weren't sure what was going to happen after life, but the uncertainty filled them with anxiety. But when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you truly experience the love of God in your life. God takes away, not physical death. Physical death's going to happen. I wish it wouldn't, but it is. But the sting of physical death, the regret, the shame that goes with mistakes in life, the fear of the unknown, the fear of hell, all of those things are taken away. The Bible puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the perishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We'll not all sleep, but we'll all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the imperishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, or the perishable, excuse me, must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you're not only accepting the forgiveness that He bought for you on Calvary, you can have a clean conscience when you know your sins are forgiven, when you place your faith in the Lord. But you can also look death straight in the eye and have absolutely no fear, because you know your future is sure. And I know this to be true, number one, because of many people that I've spent time with who are facing death, and those who had a deep faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and a deep knowledge in their mind and in their heart of the love of God, had an assurance that the suffering of this present life was going to be over quickly, and they were going to be in the joy of the Lord. And I myself, who 3 years ago began chemotherapy treatments for stage 4 cancer, highly advanced, all spread throughout my liver, began in my colon region, never once feared. Oh yes, I was sad that I would leave my family. But in a way, I was excited, because I knew there was the possibility that I might see Jesus very, very soon. The resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ takes away the sting of death. And let me tell you, I've got one more point, but let me tell you, you may not choose to accept Christ now, but remember my words. Because one day, each and every one of you will face death. If you face it with Jesus, you'll face it without fear, but with joy, hope, and expectation. And lastly, this morning, the resurrection gives or ensures us that we're able to live for God. I've met a lot of people that I've cared about, people who knew who Jesus was, people who knew they needed to give their life to the Lord Jesus, people who understood there's no hope beyond the grave except for Christ, yet they refused or unwilling to personally accept Christ into their lives as Savior. And one reason they've done that is they don't think that they're able to live for Him. They think, if I come to Christ, I'm going to mess up, and it's not going to do any good anyway, so why should I bother? Jesus understands that. He said to His disciples when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane preparing to be nailed to that old rugged cross, He said to them as they could not stay awake and pray with him. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. God understands it's tough to live for him. For one, the flesh, our bodies, our lives is physically weak. Our bodies and you know, my face from a distance might look smooth, but believe me, there are a lot of wrinkles and crinkles in there that weren't there. And as time goes on, this body's going to get older and be less able to do the things that I want to do. But there are other things that I wrestle with in my body, and it's not just physical fatigue. Sometimes I don't do what I want to do because I'm just lazy. Maybe I'm the only guy. Wives, am I the only? No, I don't want to ask for hands today. It's a happy day. But weakness is not just something that we experience physically. Weakness is also something that we experience in our hearts, in our emotional beings, in our makeup. We can get tired emotionally. We can get worn down by the things of life. We can look around us and see everything that's going on and allow fear and doubt to rule and control us. And with the complexity of life as it is today, not only can we be weak emotionally, we just, you know, feel like crumbling, or our heart feels like water just melting away. Sometimes we don't know what to do with our minds. All the things that are going on, we don't have the answers. Life isn't as simple as it was, you know, a few years ago. I think life was always complicated. It's just a matter of when we come to a certain age, we understand that life's not as easy as it seems. And so we come to wit's end, not knowing what to do. How do I find a solution to my problems, my family's problems? And then, of course, the biggest area, spiritual weakness. The drive and the susceptibility that we all have to sin. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know I shouldn't say those things, do those things, look at these things, go these places, but I just can't help myself. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But that's where the power of the Holy Spirit comes in. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about it in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. It was the Holy Spirit that came down upon the lifeless body of the Lord Jesus Christ and rose him from the grave. And that same Holy Spirit will touch our mortal bodies, not just in the future, but in the now. Because Romans 8, as wonderful as that scripture is, yes, it's talking about the future resurrection that our bodies will experience. When the last trumpet sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and you and I who are alive will join with him. But also talks about how the Holy Spirit can and will, if we depend upon him, if we rely upon him, if we allow him to fill our lives, will strengthen us in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirits, and in our bodies. Because Romans chapter 8, verse 12 goes on to say, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Today there might be someone here who you're at the end of your rope. In fact, you were hoping to come to church today to find some glimmer of hope to hang your heart on so you could get through till tomorrow. Well, there's more here today that can get you more beyond just tomorrow, but the next day, for the rest of your life. Because that source has no ending. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's a power that's here for you in your life if you make that decision to accept Christ as your Savior. It's a power that will actually strengthen you physically when you're weary. Isaiah chapter 40, the Bible tells us He gives strength to the weary. He's able to heal our bodies and make us whole. 3 years ago, doctor said I'd never be cured of cancer, and he still hasn't said I'm cured. I'm going to see him tomorrow. And am I cured yet? There's a young lady here just a few moments ago, Bob's daughter. Talked with her this morning. Had a mass this big in her chest. Lymphoma. And I asked her how she was doing. Cancer's gone. And I know she's gone through treatments, and I'm not one to say don't ignore medicine. God has given the wisdom of medicine to people. But I know a lot of people were praying for that young lady. Amen. And I praise God for the work that God's done in her life and my life. I am the Lord, the book of Exodus, chapter 25, I believe. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And God can quicken your mortal body. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God has given us a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. We can look at every day with confidence and not be weary or afraid. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. You can't have knowledge and wisdom for the difficult decisions that you have in life. And spiritually, God can enable you to crucify or keep in control your spiritual person so that you don't give in to sin and be under that constant cloud of guilt, shame, and condemnation. I'd like to ask our musicians to come once again. We're going to sing a chorus in closing today. And as we do, I'd like to ask everyone to stand. Most Americans today believe that Jesus was a person. They may not believe that He was the Son of God, but they believe that He was a person and that He died. Some may even believe that He was the Son of God and He died. But it's important not only to believe that He died, but that He rose again. That His death wasn't just a demonstration of love, although God did demonstrate His love. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But that His death was, as theologians say, efficacious. Or His death accomplished something. It's not just something that inspires. It's something that is real and can impact your heart. And the way the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ impacts your life is by you making that decision, if you haven't made that decision already, to believe in Jesus. Believe that He was the Son of God who did die. But believe that God on the third day raised Him from the dead. Romans 10, 9 and 10 puts it this way. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. I'd like to ask everyone to bow your heads and to close your eyes this morning.